Dear Saints, listen again to the first words of our Old Testament reading. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." So here's the situation. Jeremiah speaks the words of the Lord to the people. The words that the Lord gave him to speak. And the result is, the people want to kill him. What could Jeremiah have possibly said to instill such anger? Jeremiah had prophesied these words: "This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant." This may need a little explanation. You'll remember that when the Hebrews left Egypt and were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, God had them build the tabernacle, this glorious, magnificent tent, a portable church, if you would, so as the people moved around the wilderness, they could bring the tabernacle with them. Eventually, they entered the promised land and weren't moving around as much, so the tabernacle didn't have to move either. And the first place it was set up was in Shiloh, about 20 miles or so from Jerusalem. And that was their place of worship as they conquered the rest of the land. By the time of Jeremiah, centuries had passed, Shiloh was basically gone. The tabernacle was no more, but the people had Jerusalem, the holy city, the city that God had given them, and they had the Temple of Solomon, a glorious, magnificent place where God could come to be with his people. And so Jeremiah is telling them that just like the tabernacle, and just like Shiloh, this temple would be destroyed. Jerusalem would be laid waste. And well, nobody wants to hear that. This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your own ears. But why? Why was this going to happen? Why this prophecy of such destruction and desolation? Well, quite simply, the people have rebelled against their Lord. They have feared, loved, and trusted other gods. They have done abominations against one another. Oh, they offer their sacrifices in the temple, sure enough. They believe that they are God's people, but they have turned from his laws and walked away from his ways. They have turned to other gods. This is what the Lord tells the people through Jeremiah in chapter 7. "Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered,' only to go on doing all these abominations?" The people honor God with their lips, but not with their hearts. They worship outwardly, but their deeds are evil. They go to church, but the rest of the week others wouldn't know that they are God's people. One problem that Jeremiah faces is that while he and perhaps one or two others are preaching these same words of God, these same words of destruction, dozens of other false prophets are claiming the exact opposite. Oh, they say they are speaking the word of the Lord too. Here's what Jeremiah says in chapter 23. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, 'Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." I suppose there's nothing new under the sun. We face the same sort of false prophets in our day and age. They claim also to speak a word from the Lord. Such false prophets may say, "Don't worry, all's well. Go about doing whatever it is you're doing. It's all fine. No judgment is coming." Don't be fooled. St. Peter warns us of this in 2 Peter chapter 2. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them." But God has given us a gift, a false prophet detector, his holy word, that we might know who he is, what his will is, and what the truth is. And we pray that he would continue to give us faithful teachers of that word, so that we may reject the false prophets of our time. But judgment is coming for sin. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was made desolate. And so this world, which we see and experience, will also pass away. People don't want to hear it. Not now. Not in Jeremiah's time. But is there any way out? Jeremiah says, "Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you." There it is. There's the hope. Repent. Turn. Turn away from evil. Turn to God. Seek to follow his ways. He will relent from disaster. Trust in him. God brings calamity so that we might turn and repent, that we might come to him again and again in sorrow over our sin and trusting him alone for mercy and forgiveness. For God is merciful, and his steadfast love endures forever. Which brings us to Jesus. Did Jesus come speaking words similar to those of Jeremiah? Jesus said things like, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Jesus, too, prophesies that judgment is coming. And what was said about Jesus? "This man deserves the sentence of death. Crucify him. Crucify him." The proclamation of God's righteous judgment always elicits the same response. And such a response, no doubt from time to time, burns in our hearts as well. "Go to hell, God. I'll do what I like. You can't judge me." Repent. The Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against us. As Jesus reminded us in our gospel lesson, people in the Old Testament threatened or even killed other prophets as well, not just Jeremiah. But doesn't Jeremiah's situation seem just incredibly unfair? Wanting to kill Jeremiah, who had only done what the Lord commanded? It turns out Jeremiah survived this particular encounter. The people relented from killing him, even though they didn't relent from their evil ways. But church tradition suggests that later on, His own people did kill him when they were in Egypt. It's unfair. He didn't deserve that. Jesus himself would fare no better. When we read the accounts in the gospel about Jesus, the sinless one, falsely accused of crimes, betrayed by one of his own, caught up in the political machinery of his day, tortured, mocked, crucified, we think to ourselves, he didn't deserve that. He's one of the good guys. He didn't deserve to die. Well, in a way, he did. When he took on flesh from Mary, he took on my flesh and yours. When he was baptized in the Jordan, he took on my sin and yours. And so by some strange divine reversal, we can say of Jesus, this man deserves to die because he has spoken judgment on me. And so by taking on my flesh, by willingly taking on my sin, he is deserving of my judgment. It's as if Jesus says to us, if I don't take your place, you're dead. Deader than dead, eternally dead. Because that is what you deserve. But I do take your place, and so I'm dead. And the Father forsakes me. That's Lent. This glorious exchange of sin for sin. That there can be an exchange of life for life. Your sin to Jesus and his life to you. This is the great substitution. We must go through Lent before we can come to Easter, because there is no resurrection of the dead without the dying. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the people of the Old Testament are your people, both the good and the bad. They strayed from God's law. We stray from God's law. They were to fear the righteous wrath of God over sin, and so are we. God loved them. God loves us. He called them to repent and to trust in him alone for forgiveness. He calls us to do the same. His mercy covered their sin, and his mercy in Christ covers yours. For Christ has taken our place. He has been judged with your judgment. He has died so that you will live. Your death sentence was placed on him. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.